On this week's Show of Shows, we're talking if Pacific Rim can have another uprising at the box office, Daniel Bryan's return to WWE, Captain America's exit from the MCU, and what would our life be like without pop culture? All this and more as we reach our next stop, the PCC Multiverse.
Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back for another episode of the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and GameSource. I want to thank you for checking in with us each and every week. We truly appreciate it. But wouldn't be a PCC Multiverse without my good friend. He is the creator, the mastermind, and the all-in-one great guy of Humanica Media. You got to check out their great stuff today at humanicamedia.com. Also on YouTube, Podbean, and Apple Podcasts. It's Josh Peterson. What's going on, my friend?
Just putting these top lists together. Thank you to those of you who have submitted yours. We much appreciate it. Well, the results here soon.
Absolutely, indeed. We want to thank everybody who in the past couple days has contributed with their top 10 lists for the best video games of all time. We're compiling a list right now as far as what the top video games of all time, in your opinion out there, is. And we'll throw some of our tidbits in there as well. We're going to be creating this huge master list that we're going to be actually showcasing very soon in the near future up on our site. Plus also as well, we're going to be doing a breakdown of it in future episodes of the Pop Culture Cosmos and PCC Multiverse as well. Well, it's going to be a great show we have for you out there today. We've got Rob McCallum standing by in the Cosmic Crossfire. We're going to go mano a mano in the Cosmic Crossfire over God of War and how we have differing opinions on exactly what we're excited for and not so excited for when it comes out to this impending blockbuster coming to the PlayStation 4. Plus, also as well, we've got Billy Donnelly of Intelligent Wrestling Conversations. He's going to be talking to me about the return of Daniel Bryan to the WWE and World Wrestling Entertainment rings. Is it the right thing for him to come back to the ring? Yes, 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 or no. We're going to be talking about that and a little bit more in regards to the Daniel Bryan situation coming up a little bit later in the show as well. Plus, Josh and I are going to be talking about Captain America's impending exit out of the MCU. And also as well, what our lives would be like without pop culture. But Josh, first off, it's another great weekend at the box office. We might actually, at the end of it, have a brand new box office champion here domestically as Pacific Rim Uprising debuts in theaters. In fact, I'm sure it's going to be doing great overseas. It probably will do very, very strong once again as the first movie did in China. And overseas as well, it should do very well. But here in the States, we kind of got a mixed bag. The reviews are kind of mixed as well. It's still targeting around what Tomb Raider did last week at around $25 million, which should still be enough to overtake Black Panther as the number one movie here in the States. So I ask you, Josh, what are your thoughts on Pacific Rim Uprising, a movie which we thought might not get made because of the fact that it didn't really resonate with a North American audience?
I mean, I'm glad it exists. I'm going to go see it. It was weird. I liked the first one and I didn't like the first one. And then at first, like, I wasn't sold on seeing the new one. And then, you know, with each trailer they made for it, I kind of got more into the idea of going to see it. So I'm, you know, I might go check it out this weekend, but you know, it's got giant monsters fighting giant robots and like it, you know, people shouldn't really expect much of a story from that, but just expect to go in and be entertained. And I think that, you know, right now in this in between Black Panther and Avengers, that's all you can really ask for, is to go see a movie that entertains you. And I hope it does well. I hope it does decent numbers, enough to garner a sequel, or maybe it will, but just enough to make the movies worth going to for people.
Well, I'm worried about a lot of recycled formulas that they already use in the previous Pacific Rim iteration. I know a lot of the reviews have pretty much said as much, not finding anything truly original in the sequel that stands out. John Boyega is the star of this one, taking over the reins of what was previously a different star set as far as the top stars are concerned. Is that going to be something that might actually gain a better interest for you, with John Boyega obviously coming off the fame from the Star Wars movies? Is that something that might endear you more to go and see the movie Pacific Rim Uprising this weekend? Or is it just the fact that, like you said, it's just more monsters battling much more robots and destroying more cities in return?
I'm not like huge on the John Boyega bandwagon. He was good in Star Wars, but I just was not, I'm not like overly impressed with him. Like I wasn't as impressed with his acting as, say, I was when I first saw Sam Worthington, and I was like, that guy's going to be huge. And then he sold the soul to James Cameron, and he wasn't. John Boyega's cool. I would have much rather saw, what happened to, what's his name's character?
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, I would have much rather saw what happened to him, but I get it. He's busy doing, I think it was King Arthur when that was shooting. But look at it this way. It's basically a mashup of two movies that have literally no, evolved plot at all. It's a mashup of Transformers and the Godzilla series. So neither of those two movies has any plot development at all, yet people still go flock to see them. So I, for one, am super curious about how this is going to do in terms of box office numbers, because I know the last one everyone kept saying, oh, that was stupid, but it did decently, right? Obviously it didn't have to garner a sequel, but
just barely enough, in my opinion. Like I said, domestically it did okay. I think right around the 100 million mark. But it really scored well in China, and I think that's what they're basing it off of this time around.
Right, and it does. The critics, of course, the critics are going to kind of bash this movie and say, "Oh, there's no plot or whatever," because it's not their style movie. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm going to start doing reviews on critic reviews. I feel like somebody needs to take that march. But no, this is going to be one of those movies that you just go to be entertained. And this is everybody's childhood dream, is giant robots fighting giant monsters. It's like every kid who ever grew up watching Robotech or Gundam, they're going to be the ones that go to see this movie. This is the movie that's made for them.
Well, I definitely liked the first one. But Guillermo del Toro, coming off The Shape of Water, he is back in a producer role for this one, so definitely a lot of people are excited to see his involvement still with this series. That being said, if it does more than $25 million here in North America, then it should become a win for the actual movie itself, because I think it will still do very strong numbers overseas, and that could necessitate a third movie if that should materialize. But we'll have to wait and see. It still comes in between. It's being sandwiched, like we talked about last week, in that triplet of movies each week, which have I'd say maybe double A, not full-blown triple A blockbusters, but we saw last week with Tomb Raider. Now we've got Pacific Rim Uprising, and next week, Ready Player One. One of those movies should break out as far as being a decent hit. My money's still on Ready Player One, but Pacific Rim Uprising, if it scores really big overseas, it could actually be the one of those three that actually comes out on top.
Right, and let's not forget that Avengers was originally scheduled to come out a week later, so I don't know if they were, they were planning on that. But, like I said with Tomb Raider, it's just nice to see a non-Disney Marvel Lucasfilm property kind of capture the imagination of audiences, because we're going to reach a point, I've said this before, we're going to reach a point where not only is Disney going to be monopolizing here, but you're going to have a period where one of their movies, box office numbers, are going to keep flowing into the next release by them, and so on and so forth. So it's just refreshing to see a movie hopefully hit well with audiences, whether it's going to be this one or Ready Player One. It's just going to be nice to see, you know, there is somebody that can stand up against the might of Disney.
That hopefully will play out indeed with at least one of these movies that will become a hit. Like I said, I think Ready Player One will be just that hit, but Pacific Rim Uprising, with the fact that it's already a well-known sequel to a movie that did okay at the box office the first time around, could do even better this time around, especially if it hits big overseas. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, and we'll definitely give you the scorecard on what happens on our Monday show and have the fallout or Monday morning quarterback on Pacific Rim Uprising as it hits theaters this weekend. What are your thoughts on Pacific Rim Uprising? Are you going to catch it at the theaters? Are you going to wait until home video? Are you even interested that this kaiju movie is going to be coming out at all? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, Humanica Media, and Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well. Well, like I said, we've got a great show for everyone out there today. We've got Rob McCallum standing by in the Cosmic Crossfire. Plus also as well, we've got Billy Donnelly from Intelligent Wrestling Conversation. He's going to talk to me a little bit later about Daniel Bryan. And we're also going to be chatting about Captain America and a lot more. But first, we've got our good friend, Chad. He is the man behind Hyperschmidt. And this is After All. And this is the PCC Multiverse.
Here at the start, where you are, oh, I would not change a thing. You are dear, you are flawless. Will you fix my broken wing? On a ledge, can you see what you know you're looking for? I am sure I've forgotten. Once again, I lost my goal. In my problems, I feel small. It's the climb up.
Fight, and I know we're gonna fall. Bloody knees.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Hey everyone, it's Rob McCallum and I'm back with a new series that centers on the world of crowdfunding. I call it Backed or Busted. It's real simple. Every week I take a Shark Tank-like look at live campaigns on Kickstarter and Indiegogo and determine if they should be backed or if they're busted. If they should be backed, then I invest in the project, plunk down real money, and become a backer. If the project doesn't cut it, then it gets no love from me and I label it busted for the entire world to see. In addition, you'll discover amazing new projects, inventive products, creative endeavors, and you'll see what works and what doesn't work in the multi-billion dollar crowdfunding industry that makes turning your dream project into a reality more than possible. So check out Backed or Busted episodes at facebook.com/backed or busted crowdfunding. And if you want me to help your campaign become truly awesome, send me a message. That's Backed or Busted at facebook.com/backed or busted crowdfunding.
And we're back with the program. It is Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos. And yes, it is time once again for another magical installment of the Cosmic Crossfire. And who better to do a Cosmic Crossfire with me than my good friend? He is the man, the myth, the legend behind Rob McCallum Films. You got to check out all of his great stuff going on today at robmccallumfilms.com. It is Rob McCallum. What's going on, my friend?
Life is good. What can I say? We've got lots going on in the hopper, as I'm sure you read from the different posts that we have on robmccallumfilms.com. We're only 10 days away from releasing Kitty Origins Evolutions, which is really exciting. We've had tons of press for that as well. Morgan and Mercedes have been on Billboard.com. They've been on SiriusXM. They've been Metal Injection, like everywhere. And it was actually mentioned on the Bill Simmons podcast as well. So that was pretty cool to kind of hear the world of heavy metal get dropped on in the world of sports was something that I was actually attached to. So pretty excited about that, to be honest.
And it's actually a good thing now, like you said, with a lot of premier documentaries coming out, yours, which is the Kitty documentary, which you can get on March 30th. Please, if you can, pre-order today or when it comes out, pick it up if you are a fan of the heavy metal genre. Or even as far as good storytelling from a documentary status, and you like a really to follow a great documentary, I cannot recommend it any higher. Let's go with the Kitty documentary, indeed, starting, like I said, available on the 30th. But I am here talking a lot about pop culture. So Rob, pray tell, what's on your mind when it comes to pop culture?
Well, I got to dip back into my bag of tricks on what's going on with Rob McCallum Films and myself just before we segue into this stuff, because it is pop culture related. We've been talking about box art now for, you know, the better part of a year and a half, and we finally got a trailer cut. We have to do a little bit of motion graphic work on it, but I believe I even sent it your way, Gerald.
From what I've seen so far of it, it does remind me of a lot of stuff that you've done in the past. It does have a little bit of Rob McCallum familiarity for me, because I have seen a few of your projects now, which I'm all the better for, because all of your projects so far, in my opinion, have been very, very good viewing as far as from a documentary standpoint. It looks like it's shaping up quite nicely. I was talking to Douglas Hoyabu from Retro City Games, one of the people helping you out with this project. And
just helping. He's a producer on it. I mean, he's a part of the ownership team. Him, Nicole, and myself went on it as kind of like the three pillars of awesomeness, the Triforce, if you will.
Well, he was telling me, you know, he's just so excited for the upcoming project, and he just wants to do everything he can to be a part of this and help make this happen and come to fruition as far as some great things. And he was just so excited. He wants to do more. He wants to help you out as best he can, but he knows he needs to leave it up to the master.
Even that, we're just in a position where it's all about editing and shaping and sculpting. And I said, Doug, you know, the thing that you can do the most when it comes to box art, our docuseries that's going to be 6 episodes that looks at the cover illustrators and the people responsible for our favorite classic gaming covers from the PC world, Atari, through, of course, the golden Nintendo Genesis age to now. The thing you can do is basically just look at the cuts that I'm sending you and give me some feedback. That's kind of all that we can do at this point. He's excited to do that, and I was glad to see his enthusiasm.
he kept talking about it at length, and I was just so happy for him. And then Nicole made sure to talk to me about it as well, and I can sense her excitement in it. And I'm just happy for the three of you that this project is going forward and that it definitely will come to light, hopefully sooner rather than later. Obviously, nothing definitive on a release date yet. You're still getting everything going down, but definitely it looks like something magical is happening with Box Art indeed.
Yeah, we're set to deliver for all our backers in December, and now the only things that are going to kind of push and pull that date and that kind of time period are distribution possibilities, legal, which is always out of our hand, and we're dealing with IP that we don't own, of course, the Rob McCallum staple, and any kind of motion graphics or post-production work that we're doing. And as we kind of unveil this trailer, and we know we got to do motion graphics and a little bit of sizzle, a little bit of spice to it, we have a bit of a better idea of what each episode might need as well. So the trailer is a really nice microcosm for everything that's going on in the series. But yeah, it's exciting to be excited about it again and kind of find that perspective to dive in and what to talk about and what to showcase and to see everybody's reaction. We've shared it internally with the group, and I didn't know what people would think. Call me a pessimist, but I just wasn't sure if people would like it. And everybody like overwhelmingly came back and said, no, this is cool. This is not what I thought it would be, but this is exactly what I hoped it would be, which is always a strange comment to get, but excited about that. And in similar news, I've been cutting the trailer for Power of Grayskull. Now, that film and that whole life cycle for the documentary on He-Man, the definitive history of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, happened in reverse. We cut the film. It wasn't even like a full final cut. We managed to sell it. We have a couple different distributors on board for varying windows and handling different aspects of the film. And we had it all sold before we even had to cut a trailer. Usually you cut a trailer for a film first to get the attention. You only want 2 minutes of someone's time, and if they like it, then they'll watch the whole film. We got them to watch the whole film first, and then we were stuck without a trailer. So I said to the guys, I've got a little bit of time. I just finished cutting the Box Art trailer. I'm kind of in the trailer mood. I'm ready to get going on this. Let me take a crack at it. And I was able to get something that was really good. And, we had tried doing trailers before, and it didn't quite feel right, but we had some time away, some objectivity. And I think we're kind of heading in a direction that finally feels good and serves the film well. So be on the lookout for that, hopefully, in the next month or two as we, again, lay a little bit of polish and sizzle and spice on that, too. Let's turn our attention to some video games. There was an article on The Hollywood Reporter that talks about the God of War game that's coming out in April. And it says, God of War offers the most cinematic game experience yet. Is this what we want in a game? How many years have we said, when I play a game, I don't want to sit down and watch a movie? And yet, the next God of War game, which Sony has pumped a lot of money into, and they're taking a little bit of a different turn, and there's not too many nods to the previous games, has gone in the full-on cinematic route once more. Is this what we want? Compare and contrast to the hype for God of War that Burnout Paradise Remastered received, which is not cinematic at all. It is start, ram into things, get going, arcade frenzy, and it seemed to be just as popular or buzzed about, just maybe not the price point, but just excited about in terms of, what do we want to play as God of War, which may get sour now, given that it's a cinematic game.
Do you really want to ask me that question?
You're so excited for it, aren't you? You're so excited, I can tell.
Well, you see me right behind me. You've got Nathan Drake and Shepard, both from games that have try to incorporate cinematic themes within the structure of their games, and they happen to be two of my more favorite games as far as that's concerned. And to me, I am excited about it, and I am more drawn to it because of that fact. In fact, the early reviews, as far as people, not full reviews, but people that have been able to actually get their hands on the game as far as in the early going that are able to go ahead and comment on it, have spoke glowingly about the initial findings of the game and as far as the story being extremely compelling. And that's something we haven't had in a little while. It's an extremely compelling story. Probably the last thing is the latest Wolfenstein, which came out, obviously at the end of October. So it's nice to see, for me, that there's going to be something more cinematic, more focused on storytelling, and not just rinse, repeat, combo, 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 rinse, repeat for me. So, as someone who's been, playing a little bit of Fortnite, playing a little bit of other games and getting into Sea of Thieves here a little bit, I just think it's actually very cool that there's actually going to be a cinematic game that might draw me in even more than I ever have been to the God of War series before.
I guess I'm just completely turned off as a guy who doesn't have a lot of time, and that when I want to play a game, I want to play a game. And I hear the demos they were showing were showcasing the first 3 hours of the game, which barely scratched the surface. It's just such an off-putting marketing play. And I get that it appeals to some crazy people like yourself. And, you know, I own RPGs that are 70 hours long and I can get excited by those. But when it comes to a new game, and if I'm going to decide if I'm going to plunk my money down, I want to be able to play this. And I know a good, very good friend of mine, Justin Schoenrock, who lives and breathes God of War. So I'm going to go. I can't wait for this to come out because I want to ask him what he thinks of God of War and how it kind of lives up to the experience. It just doesn't do it for me. The Hollywood Report article, you can search it out there. It's under their tech banner. Talks about how the script is great, how Kratos, you know, has gone from a two-dimensional to three-dimensional character. The introduction of his son has changed how he is and the choices that he makes and the fact that there are choices. And that's all great. I don't know. God of War has always been a hack and slash, beat 'em up, and this isn't like necessarily like what they've done for Tomb Raider, where they re-envisioned it as a different kind of franchise. This is a continuation, so it just feels maybe like the wrong step.
For me, actually, I think it's quite the opposite, because Kratos has been nothing but a two-dimensional character. Rah, rah, I'm mad at the gods, I'm mad at the gods, rah, 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 slash, slash, you know, whatnot. Now it's something that's more fleshed out. His story is something that a lot of people that outside of just people, you know, wanting to play the game now may follow and may have interest in. I mean, why are people drawn to the Uncharted franchise? Why has it sold so many million?
I don't know. That is a question for an entire episode on. I'm just kidding. I like Uncharted.
So you like Uncharted because it tells a great narrative. And Mass Effect, same thing. You know, they're right behind me.
I haven't played Mass Effect. I haven't played it, but Uncharted, from what
I don't know. This interview may be over. I don't know.
I know, heaven forbid I don't play a game that you love. I get it. But I didn't find the cinematics in any of the Uncharted games. I haven't played the fourth one, so that might be the exception. I haven't played it.
Well, it's not. I will tell you this. It has a lot of nice things about it, but it is not quite up to a couple of the other installments in the series. It's just a little long on that one.
I didn't feel that any of the cinematic stuff in the Uncharted series was particularly long or over the head, or at least had a lighter tone to it so that you could get through it in that Indiana Jones, like, oh, what is this about? With God of War, with Tomb Raider, it's always so dark and gritty and overbearing and, same like The Last of Us. Oh my God. Like, I don't want to sit down and escape reality to be put in something that just depresses me more and makes me want to escape it to get back to my life. I don't want that.
That's what made the first original Tomb Raider reboot so great, is that it showed a different side of Lara than we had come to know.
But the problem with that is it's dependent upon the original version of the game for that success. If Tomb Raider had come out and in the previous incarnations of Tomb Raider didn't exist, I don't think it would have done as well as it had done, because it had nothing to compare and contrast to.
I just think, like I said, to me, telling a narrative in games is important to me, but no, it doesn't have to be in every game, no.
I'm not saying that there isn't a role for a narrative.
When I play Fortnite Battle Royale, I'm not looking for a narrative. I'm looking just to go ahead and do what I can to survive. You know,
would
that's
you
what
like
you
Fortnite more if there were cinematics in it?
No, but I would like God of War if it does have cinematics in it.
You see, I think you need to examine why you like one versus the other and how cinematics couldn't help Fortnite. That's what I think you need to consider.
No, it's just a different taste for different games and how you like to see them structured.
Different strokes for different folks.
If you want to ask Rob or me a question for the Cosmic Crossfire, feel free to do so by just shouting us out. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, PopCultureCosmos, Humanica Media, GameSource, and Rob McCallum Films on Facebook, Rob McZob on Twitter. Rob, as always, it's great having you on. And tell you what, it's always great having you a part of the Cosmic Crossfire, and, of course, the Pop Culture Cosmos. For the latest reviews and opinions on everything pop culture, head on over to our brand new site, www.popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glasser from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast as always, and cannot thank you enough for doing so. If you want to help us out with our feature on the top video games of all time, send us your list. Here's how you do it. Send us your top 10 list, not your one, not your five, but your top 10 list in order, either 1 to 10 or 10 to 1, and send it to us anytime in the next couple weeks here, either to popculturecosmos@yahoo.com or popculturecosmos, Humanica Media, or Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well. You can send it to us any one of those three ways. Your thoughts on the top video games of all time. We're going to have a feature on that coming up real soon. If you want to listen to our show and you're not sure exactly always where to hit our show up at, we're on 7 days a week on online radio. We've got our great friends at Airwave Radio in the UK, Good Talk Radio out of Arizona, Croc Radio out of Canada, Gray Cloud Radio, the Podcast Radio Network, Western Reserve Digital Broadcasting. You got to give all their stuff a great try as well, because they're a great station. And also IPM Nation and their IPM Nation One channel. You got to listen to them as well when it comes on Mondays and Fridays. So if you want to check the days, because again, we're playing on online radio 7 days a week, you just check our homepage on Facebook at Pop Culture Cosmos. Plus, if you want to go ahead and subscribe today on any one of these channels and download our shows, you can do so, because we're available to download at any point in time. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the Weeby Geeks Network, Gunna Geek Network, ESO Network, Tangamount Network, Podchaser, Podbean, Anchor FM, Mixcloud, and over, well, I counted at least 25, possibly even 30 different podcast networks where you can get our program, even more than that if it catches all the iTunes and Apple Podcast stuff. And if you download our shows, our downloadable shows always have extra content just for listening, whether it's Humanica Media, Voice from the Underground, something from Rob McCallum, or a lot of other sources. We'd just like to throw in some extra stuff to say thank you for downloading our program. Josh, you got a great thing going on with Humanica Media, so tell me, please, what's going on with your great concept known as Humanica Media?
Yes, so a new episode of What About This just came out yesterday. A new episode of Topicocalypse dropped this morning, and there's going to be a new episode of Super BS probably going out here within the next 11 minutes if my friend Brian is on time. So definitely check all of those out, as well as our show on the Podcast Radio Network every Tuesday at 6:30, 5:30. What time is it on?
Well, I thought it was at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, but sometimes he does play you earlier at the Podcast Radio Network. So check local listings at their Facebook page, the Podcast Radio Network, where you'll also find the listings for our Monday and Friday shows. The Pop Culture Cosmos show, usually 10:30 p.m. Eastern, also as well on Fridays, the PCC Multiverse at 7 p.m. Eastern. You always want to check just to make sure. So Josh, I know you got wind of this, as did I. Chris Evans, in recent interviews in the New York Times, and was like put out everywhere in the universe right afterwards, has already talked about how he has finished filming his final scenes as an Avenger, as Captain America, barring any reshoots later this fall for the second Avengers movie coming in 2019, which would actually be Avengers 4. He pretty much indicated in that interview that he looks like he's going to be hanging up. His contract is finito, and he said he didn't want to become too old for it, where they had to drag him out. He said he wanted to get out while the getting's good and all that, which is fine. Kumbaya. But I ask you, Josh, is he really leaving the MCU, and is Captain America actually going to be finished as an entity within the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
You know, it's the MCU. They can always bring him back, but I get where he's coming from. He's actually a very talented writer-director. I don't know if you've seen any of his indie stuff on Netflix, but he's got a lot of talent, and I think that this is going to give him time to kind of pursue those other passions and kind of show the world that he's more than just a superhero. But we don't know how things are going to play out in Avengers 4. Are they going to kill him? Are they going to do some kind of weird time warp or whatever happens? It seems like it would be foolish to make it so he can't come back. Just because, you know, like we were discussing before the show, if the Marvel films ever did reach a place where they started to get stagnant, they could just say, hey, we're bringing, you know, Iron Man or Captain America back. And that would get crowds back into the movie theaters. But he can't play him forever. You know, we got so much, especially with after Infinity War, we're going to have so many heroes going into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, you know, we have Sebastian Stan, who's still contracted, I want to say, for another 4 movies. So I can see him picking up the mantle of Captain America. And then, you know, everyone's comparing Brie Larson's Captain Marvel to Captain America. So maybe she's going to be the next team leader. I think we're just what we're going to see after Infinity War and Avengers 4 is a complete breakdown of the structure of the MCU as we know it and a building of new teams. If you're a comic book fan, I would compare it to maybe Avengers Disassembled. You know, we lost Iron Man, went through some stuff. We lost Thor for a long time until after Civil War. Captain America disappeared. We had the new Avengers lineup, which had, you know, Spider-Man, Wolverine, so on and so forth. And that was just the new team of the Avengers for a while. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing here. And Sebastian Stan, you know, chances are he's going to take up the mantle of Captain America, or they're going to be incorporating him more into the Black Panther world. We don't really know this yet. But we're going to see new teams, and we can't have, you know, you shouldn't expect to see, as much as I love Captain America, Iron Man, all those guys, I hope to see Thor, you know, stick around maybe for a bit. But as much as we love these characters, in order for the MCU to evolve, especially after, you know, 2021 movies, we're going to need to see some new blood on the screen, even if that means putting some characters on the shelf for just a little bit.
Let's hope that either Captain Marvel, Captain America, or Iron Man, or there'll be some type of entity we can actually embrace just as well as Chris Evans in Captain America down the road. And let's hope that this works out for those watching the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward after Avengers 4 in 2019. What are your thoughts on Chris Evans leaving the Captain America role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? He's pretty much said it is time for him to leave. Are you happy with it? Are you kind of sad like we are? Do you think it's a good move? Or do you think that something should be done to hopefully keep him in the role or keep at least Captain America a vital part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Share us your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, popculturecosmos, Humanic Media, Facebook and Twitter as well. When we return, we've got Billy Donnelly from Intelligent Wrestling Conversations to talk Daniel Bryan's return to a WWE ring. Is it the right move for him and the WWE? We're going to share our thoughts on that. And also as well later in the broadcast, what if there was no such thing as pop culture in our lives? What would we be doing? We're going to answer that question when we come back later on the program. This is the PCC Multiverse.
On March 30th, get ready for Kitty Origins Evolutions, the latest documentary from Rob McGowan. Thrusted into heavy metal stardom as teenagers with their debut release, Kitty has thrashed and conquered the heavy metal world for the past 20 years. Kitty has defied industry norms, fought back against women in rock stereotypes, and inspired generations since they appeared. And now, for the first time, they've decided to share their untold story. Generously peppered with archival footage shot by the band, this film gives you an honest and brutal look at what it takes to survive in the music industry. Pre-order the DVD, Blu-ray, and live CD triple pack that features recordings from throughout their 20-year illustrious history from RobMcCallumFilms.com. RobMcCallumFilms.com, your place for awesome stories about awesome people and films worth watching. Kitty Origins Evolutions drops March 30th, 2018.
And we're back on the air. It's Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. Thank you so much for sticking around and listening in to us on the show here. One thing that came out of nowhere this week in the realm of pop culture, it came from the world of professional wrestling. Daniel Bryan, one of the biggest stars of maybe the past few years of the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, recently announced that he is coming back to the WWE Squared Circle. which is kind of a little bit out there, because for the past 2 years, the WWE has blocked his return to the ring due to complications, what they deemed from concussion-related injuries. He's gone all over the country getting a support from neurological experts, getting that sign that, yeah, he was good, he was okay. But the WWE was blocking with their doctors, saying that it wasn't quite enough at this point in time. Well, what changed? I have those questions, and I know a lot of people out there have those questions as well. And who better to help me try and figure this out but a good friend of ours, Billy Donnelly from Intelligent Wrestling Conversation. Billy, it's great to have you back on the program.
What's going on, man? Good to be here.
If you really want a show that breaks down the professional wrestling scene, you got to check out Intelligent Wrestling Conversation today on SoundCloud, iTunes, and so many other outlets. In fact, their latest episode actually delves into the Daniel Bryan issue as far as him coming back into the ring. So first off, before I go more into detail as far as my thoughts, I want to hear what you think about Daniel Bryan coming back to a WWE ring.
I mean, it's amazing. This was never supposed to happen, really. So usually when you're forced into a medical retirement in the world of professional wrestling, you stay medically retired. We've had situations in the past where people have had to hang up their boots, so to speak, because the doctors said that it was not within their best interests, their personal health, to continue, and they could not be medically cleared. And Daniel Bryan was one of those situations where, due to head injuries and concussion-related injuries, the WWE would not medically clear him to compete. And as you mentioned, 2 years ago, he was sort of forced to retire. So he has, over those 2 years, really fought to show that he is able to compete. He has sort of gone to specialists and neurologists and basically everyone that he possibly can to examine his case and to examine him to see where along the lines he may be. So, yeah, I mean, I'm super excited. Daniel Bryan was one of my favorite guys in recent history. He's very organic in the way that he came together, especially in the WWE universe, as sort of the guy that we were told we couldn't have, and we made it happen. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really happy for him, because I know that he had a lot of struggles with the fact that he couldn't do this thing that he loved so much anymore. He faced a lot of depression and a lot of anger and a lot of frustration as a result. And, you know, and also being around it while your friends are still able to do it, while your peers are still able to do it, you know, that's got to be incredibly difficult. So while I'm happy for me as a fan to be able to see this again, I'm truly happy for him to be able to go back to this thing that he's loved so passionately.
There was a reason why WWE doctors kept him out of the ring for 2 years. Whether it be based off the current concussion-related lawsuit that they're going through with several wrestlers, or for any other reasons, there was a reason why he was out for 2 years, and there was a lot of trepidation for him ever coming back into the ring at all.
I mean, I'll agree with you to a degree, because as much as I love Daniel Bryan as a fan, watching him as a professional wrestler, I don't want to see anyone put their health or their life in danger for my entertainment. So, you know, while other people are a bit more rabid in what it is that they want to see in the ring, I understand that this is another human being. He is a father. He is a husband. And so I want to see him go on and have a good quality of life from here on out and not run into medical issues down the line. That said, I mean, the brain is a funny thing, because there's not a lot that we have known about it to this point. We continue to learn more and more every day, you know, as we've seen sort of with the NFL and their concussion protocols and CTE. Their approach to head injuries is far more elaborate than it once was. So, you know, the WWE, they were essentially protecting Daniel Bryan from himself to a degree, but also, I mean, let's face it, they're a corporation, so they're also protecting themselves. So they did face some sort of concussion and CTE litigation in the past, most of which they came out on top in. And they have also, to their credit, especially in this Daniel Bryan situation, they have been really careful with what it is that they want to do. So while Daniel Bryan had been cleared in the past by other doctors and other neurologists, the WWE was sort of the last shoe to drop. Now, look, there is this sort of cynical perspective that, you know, maybe he got cleared now because there was the prospect of him leaving. I know in interviews he basically said if he had not been cleared for in-ring action by WrestleMania, then he didn't think that it was ever going to happen within this company. And New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor have both really sort of indicated in the past that if Daniel Bryan were to come free from his contract in the WWE, that they would be more than willing to welcome him into the fold and allow him to wrestle again. So, you know, there is, of course, the concern because he does have this history, but I'm also not a doctor or a medical expert. So I'm going based on their expertise and the fact that they have PhDs to inform them on these areas. So if he's getting the green light from doctors all over the place, pretty widespread, I don't think it's because they've taken his case lightly. I think that they've really looked at this and they think that he is in a situation where he is okay at this point in time to go ahead and re-enter professional wrestling as an active in-ring participant.
And I want to say for the record that I hope that is the case. I sincerely do. I don't want to be the person that leans on the other side of the fence and is that person if something bad should happen, say, I told you so, I told you so, because I don't want to be that individual.
Just to interrupt really fast, like, the WWE doesn't want to be those individuals either, which is why I think that they've taken so long and have been so deliberate in clearing him, because if something were to happen, that's on them. You know, that they're responsible for giving him the green light. Their doctors are responsible for clearing him. So I think while he was able to get the clearance in the past from other specialists and neurologists, the WWE was really the last one that to go because of the fact that he becomes a liability for them. And if they green light him, if they clear him too soon, or while he's still having complications or he's still having symptoms and something happens, you know, let's say he has a seizure in the ring or there are long-term effects, then they would be responsible. And they're not also going to put somebody out there who's going to sign medical waivers, absolving them of any sort of responsibility either. So I think that until he really went around the world, both literally and figuratively, to get this clearance, and then really have them take another look at his case and see that he was, I guess, by their medical standards, okay for what it is that he's going to do, then that's why that happened. So, you know, it's not that WWE necessarily sees this as, well, this is our last chance to get him in there before he leaves. I think a big part of it was just, they're not down for being involved in medical malpractice in the long term. So I think that was really one of the other big factors that sort of came into play as to why now, or why it took 2 years for the WWE to finally give him the thumbs up.
Well, it definitely looks like he will be part of the WrestleMania card at this point in time, due to the fact that he was attacked by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn upon his return to the ring, or announcement of it, I should say. But that leaves those questions. I mean, you and I are having this conversation because of the fact that there is a sudden shift in the thinking of where Daniel Bryan should be at for the rest of his career. And it looks like, for at least now, the WWE looks to be that place. Whether or not it was a good decision, only time will tell. I'm hoping that it will be. I'm hoping that he has that illustrious career that we all know that he should have, and that Hall of Fame career that he already is well on the way to doing. But there's going to be people like me, there's going to be skeptics out there, and there's going to be other people and other individuals that are just, whether it's through negative reasons or whether it's just someone like me who has a concern for his well-being, there's going to be always some type of trepidation. In fact, yourself, I can hear it in your voice when you talk about it, that there is, even though we are happy to see him in the ring, there's still a trepidation to be there. That's for sure.
you know, the fact that the doctors are good enough with where he is right now, I wish him well. I am extremely excited about seeing him as a part of WrestleMania, especially since it's in New Orleans, which is where he had one of his greatest moments of his entire career at WrestleMania 30. And once again, I cannot reiterate this enough. I am just extremely happy for this guy being able to come back and do this thing that he loves, because he's wanted it so badly. And these things never happen. And here it is. The impossible is becoming possible once again.
This is true. And I definitely am in agreement with you. I am very excited to see him back. But at the same time, I'm also very worried, very concerned. But then, like, again, if he's been cleared all over the globe by neurological specialists all over saying that he's okay, if WWE has relented and said that he's okay, at this point, well, we got to run with it and just hope that nothing but good things happen for him and his future.
Put the positivity out there. Rainbows and sunshine and positivity. It's all going to be okay. It all feels like it's going to be okay.
It does indeed. Let's put those positive vibes out there for him, because he's definitely going to need it over the next coming months when he gets back into the ring and each and every time he steps back into the squared circle. One last question before we go. We got a couple minutes left. Want you, Billy, once again, to tell everyone why the Intelligent Wrestling Conversation, the IWC, is the best place to go for wrestling podcasts.
I mean, because we talk about wrestling intelligently. We don't sit around and complain about the guy we don't like getting pushed or the guy we like not getting pushed. We try to break down things with some context, with some perspective, to let you know why these things matter, why certain things don't matter, and also why you should care about certain things, like why the Fabulous Moolah having a battle royal named after her at WrestleMania was a horrible idea, and why there are people within the world of professional wrestling who lose your respect and maybe shouldn't be all that supported anymore. So, I mean, there are all sorts of things that we try to bring up in the show. It's not just a show where we just recap everything that happened on Raw or recap everything that happened on SmackDown, because let's face it, you already watched it. So why do you need me to talk about it for an hour? So we talk about, a lot of WWE, a lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So if that's sort of a blind spot for you, we can put that on your radar. But once again, the whole point of the show is to not be sort of wrestling fanboys who are, let's face it, they're just the worst. We try to elevate the conversation and do it with some smarts. And that's why we are Intelligent Wrestling Conversation and not smart marks yelling about Roman Reigns.
And neither am I should say. It is, again, Billy Donnelly from the Intelligent Wrestling Conversation. You got to listen to his great program today on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts.
Yes!
And
many more. Yes! Yes!
It's just so great, Billy, having you on the show. Can't wait to get you back on again. Maybe a post-WrestleMania wrap-up if you choose. So it'd be great to have you on back again real soon.
Well, we'll see if I still have a voice after New Orleans. So we'll play that one by ear, because I guarantee you when Daniel Bryan does come out, the vocal cords may just be shot.
Yes, 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 indeed. Well, that's once again Billy Donnelly from Intelligent Wrestling Conversation. You could check out his great program today on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Billy, it's been great having you a part of the pop culture cosmos.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
And we're back to close out the show. This is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos. We cannot thank you so much for being part of the PCC Multiverse. I'm here along with my good friend Josh Peterson of Humanica Media. Thanks so much to Billy Donnelly of Intelligent Wrestling Conversation for being part of the program, and also as well Rob McCallum from Rob McCallum Films and robmccallumfilms.com. Josh, we've been doing this thing with pop culture now closing in on 2 years. 2 years of talking about it. Pop culture has been so much a part of our lives. But what if pop culture and all the things that we truly endear ourselves to was not a part of our daily regular life? What would that be like for Josh, you know, as far as a life without pop culture and without all the things that you truly know and care about today?
It would be a very boring life because my brain doesn't work. It doesn't work mechanically. It doesn't work, you know, in the way that an engineer or someone's brain would work. My brain works in, you know, across the spectrums of the imagination. And if I didn't have stuff to kind of propel that forward, I don't know what I would do. I just curl up into a ball in a corner somewhere and just rock back and forth, I think. You know, because a lot of what I do, like even the stuff that I write is not encouraged, but it's inspired by pop culture. You know, Vendetta Dark, that book, it's inspired by detective novels and Spider-Man comics. And, you know, even Congratulations, You Suck is inspired by John Green writing Jonathan Tropper stuff, you know, 90s rom-coms. You know, it's all this stuff in pop culture is what keeps my universe circling around. So without it, like, you know, and even still, like growing up, nobody in my family really cared about anything pop culture. They're all super boring. They're all mechanics and engineers and stuff like that. So I was pretty much alone. And, you know, I look back and I think if I didn't care about pop culture, I don't know. I wouldn't be one of them. I wouldn't be one of the, like a drone, but like I, at the same time, I don't know what my function in life would be. Be a terrible, terrible existence. You know, just even you asking me this question just depressed me. Thank you.
You're welcome. I will say this for me. There have been points in my life where I could not pay attention as much to what's going on in pop culture. I could not go ahead and enjoy certain things in my life because I know at some points in my life where I've had to work two or three jobs at the same time, where my life was so focused on what I was doing or had 50, 60, 70 hour work weeks, even more. Those points in time, I had to stay focused on what I was doing and was not able to utilize pop culture as what it was meant for. And that's such a great outlet for myself and a great way to connect with others. And it really wasn't until the growth of my daughters who have come to love pop culture that I really gained a new life and a new reaffirmation of my interest in all things pop culture. Got to give credit to both my daughters for gaining and inspiring that, and also my wonderful wife for really getting me involved as far as from Lord of the Rings to all these, also as well, her fascination and love with Harry Potter, Twilight, and other series like that. Her love and passion for those outlets of pop culture has inspired me to seek the same in other aspects of pop culture. And like I've said before, my girls became fascinated with the Marvel Cinematic Universe from an early age of their lives. And it only has given me inspiration to follow suit and thus become a major fan of the series as well. So I cannot thank pop culture enough for being part of my life. In fact, if it wasn't for Lord of the Rings and J.R. Tolkien's work and the great movies that were made by Peter Jackson, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have my wife and I wouldn't have my kids, because that's something we bonded on as a husband and wife early on. And then also as well, we wouldn't have named our two daughters after characters within the Lord of the Rings realm. So pop culture has now become a great part of my life. I'm happy. I'm truly blessed to be able to talk about it with you and everyone out there twice a week on this great show of ours. So definitely it pleases me to no end. But there have been points in my life where pop culture, for whatever reason, could not be a focus in my life. And I look back upon those times and I think it was pretty dull. And without pop culture in your life, without something to really enjoy or an outlet for yourself and for your life and a way to escape it, it just makes life really boring, man. And just it makes life a process. And that shouldn't be what it's all about. Pop culture is there for you as an escape, and pop culture should always be there for you as a way to enjoy life and enjoy it to the fullest. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the PCC. Multiverse. We thank you so much for listening, and here's hoping you have yourself a great day.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.